The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you. Amen. There are three pivotal words which run like a clear stream through the book of Deuteronomy. Shama, to hear, Shamar, to keep, and Zakar, to remember. All three verbs map the relationship of God to his chosen people and are intimately intertwined. From the Mosaic perspective, one cannot hear without keeping, and one cannot keep without remembering. The lesson just read underscores this constant need for God's people to remember the Lord your God. Remember how crucial it was for God's people then, and how crucial, even critical, it is for God's people today, for you, for me. Why is it critical that we remember and hear and keep? It's critical because we live in an epoch that has raised amnesia to an art form. How practiced we are at forgetting. We forget the history of human failures and cruelty. We forget that every human endeavor, every empire is finally reduced to dust. We forget the reality that time discards the rich, the famous, and the powerful as swiftly as the unknown. An old ballad once crooned, "Time, time, time, look what's become of me as I look around at my possibilities." One of your great callings, dear seminarians, is to redeem time for our age, to declare its meaning and its significance. For in a time like ours, the masses say there is only the present. And it's an old song, "Live for today." So today, those marriage vows that once were are viewed as gone, because after all, he is different and she is different now. Or those promises to family, to children, that was then, and things were different, and this is now. Or dare we confess as a church that many confirmation vows taken with utmost seriousness hardly last weeks before they're forgotten. The subliminal and public signal over and over is here today and gone tomorrow. Carpe diem, seize the moment, the day, for this is all there is. And in such thought, human beings are reduced to the immediate and the impulsive, to the deceitful and the destructive. Look around, you can see it everywhere. No, you and I are called to announce a different view of time. You and I are called to announce the soul that sinneth, it will die. The Lenten season places before us that truth that locates us in time. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Dust we are, and to dust we will return. And in this confession, we find ourselves taken to Eden, where our past is expounded. We are taken to our own birth in Adam and Eve's seed. And here we see our past truthfully and fully. We see who we are. The lies are gone. Lent calls us to clarity. Before us is the truth of our decaying epoch, shrouded in every corner in death's curse. Genesis 5 and 11 speak to us the litanies of death that have marked every generation after the fall. And he died, and he died, and he died. And it's true of Bill Gates as well as the most unknown person because of that primeval rebellion. Lent lays this before us directly, forcefully, personally. We need to hear this past. But as you survey the book of Deuteronomy, it's striking how this trio of verbs, listen, keep, remember, are deeply embedded in another history. And that history is viewed as the dominant one. It's the past written by God's mercy and gracious presence with his people as he reaches out with a word of life in a culture of death. Indeed, the first four chapters of Deuteronomy are given by Moses to rehearsing the mighty saving deeds of God. His character is expounded in its brilliant compassion and in its concreteness to save a stricken and a fallen people. Indeed, just prior to this chapter comes God's pointed statement about what guided and motivated his actions. Moses writes as follows, "The Lord has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt." This is what Israel was called to remember, the gracious character of God. How much more aren't we called to remember? To remember the living God is to involve our past, our present, and our future. And we have seen more of his ways than the saints that Deuteronomy addressed. We have seen deeper into the depth of his love and his grace. To remember the character of the true God is to announce his saving deeds that anchor all our days and our time. And in this Lenten time, as our feet turn towards Jerusalem, heavy with the weight of our sin, our souls are captive to the mystery and the depth and the breadth of his love, its cost for us. Here is the woman's seed, Abram's seed, David's seed, God's own son, the Paschal Lamb, bearing the sin and death and lies and rebellion of all time in his body. The floods of our baptismal water delivered us from a master more tyrannical than Pharaoh. The words that we have heard, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The meal that we have received, "This is my body, this is my blood." We remember these things gladly, gratefully. For these are our very life. Without them, our time is emptied of meaning. But in him we live now and forever. And we go to Jerusalem with hearts at peace. And if there is an image which summarizes our past, our present, and our future, it is this. What happened under Pontius Pilate? In a particular place at a particular time, one individual, fully human and fully divine, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified for all and for all time. How fitting for us to ponder and to pray and to preach and to teach and to live under the reality that it bespeaks. As we dedicate now this morning this crucifix for our classrooms, may we hear, may we keep, but especially may we remember the height and depth and breadth of God's love for us in Christ, the crucified Paschal Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.